Following World War I, growing labor unrest, instability, and the loom of communism prompted the U.S. Department of Labor to quickly adopt and nationalize the Own Your Own Home campaign. The Labor Department went on to sponsor lectures, circulated posters, and pamphlets explaining how to get a home loan, and even handed out We Own Our Own Home campaign buttons to school children. Industry and government also framed homeownership as a growth engine. But through that lens, the people can slip behind profit and power, and choices about what to build and for whom don't always serve the public good. Over time, the market, backed by an increasingly financialized system, sold a never enough version of home. Bigger houses, more rooms, more things to fill them, simultaneously pulling us from our humanity. The loop is familiar. Buy larger, buy more. Grow anxious about protecting it. Retreat behind gates. Turn inward from neighbors. Chase the next upgrade as satisfaction recedes. That commercial and political investment helped set the stage for the post-war surge in homeownership. The era often mythologized as idyllic. A cottage, a white picket fence, 2.5 kids. That image of prosperity was ironically the carrot that led us toward the inequality and lack of housing affordability we contend with today. But again, beneath that image is a harder truth. One we need to face clearly if we want a different future than the one we're barreling towards now. I'm Demetrius Lynch, and this is Built to Divide.
You're in or you're out. And the architecture reflects it, social customs, relations with people, everything from time and space are the two basic organizing systems of life.
The fighting and the concrete issues of the war are so removed from our country that not all of our citizens have a full understanding of the principles of autocratic force which the central powers desire to substitute for the real principles of freedom.